Thanks, man.
Okay. Which one? Do you want me to use this one or do you want to use that one? Good morning.
Good morning.
I am excited this morning. I haven't preached yet today. We had two services, but I didn't get to preach. And I'll explain that in just a moment. But if Linda, there you are, Linda. Linda is going to, I heard this testimony of Linda of something that happened to her this week, and I just would like her to share that with everybody because it's really special. Thanks.
Hi, everybody. This really affected me. On Friday, I was at a department store, and there was this elderly gentleman, and he was sweeping a broom. And I said, "Hi, how are you?" And he looks at me and he says, "Wonderful, wonderful, wonderful." And I leaned into him a little and I said, "What makes you so wonderful?" And he said, in like a quiet, lovely voice, he said, "Because I know the one who is wonderful." And I'm like, yes, 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 yes. So you could just see the light coming out of this gentleman's eyes and his smile and all. So later on, I was just saying to the Lord, I was walking and I was talking to him, and I said, "Boy, thanks, Lord. You know, I really needed that encouragement. I think you sent me an angel." And he said, "No." He said, "I sent you a redeemed man." And he said, "You know, that was the life and the light that was in him, was that he knew the Lord." And, you know, sin deadens us inside, and it makes us dark inside. And it's like only through the salvation and the gift of Jesus that we have that sin removed from us. And then we have that light that comes in and that eternal life that comes in. And so if you've never thought about receiving Christ as your Savior, I would encourage you to do so, because it's the biggest decision you'll ever make in your whole life. That man had light and life. His eyes, his smile, everything about him. It's not a guarantee that our lives are going to be easy. I don't think his life is very easy. But Christ has promised that he would be always with us, and eternal life starts now. And when we pass through death, we go into eternity seeing Jesus face to face. So bless you.
Yeah. I know the one who makes everything wonderful. That was awesome. Thank you so much. And like I said, I haven't preached yet today, so this is the first time I'm going to preach it. But that kind of just spurred in the 9 o'clock service, just testimony after testimony after testimony. It just carried throughout the whole service. And so we recorded that, so and we'll make sure that that's available to you if you'd like to hear what God is doing in the lives of people in this church body. I feel like I'm supposed to preach now this time, though. Because that's what I feel like I'm led to do. We are coming to the end of preaching on the core values of this church. Months ago, we established the core values of this church body, of Cornerstone Christian Church. And we said that these core values are essentially going to be the guardrails, or the curbs that keep us on the right track so that we don't veer off into the wrong thing. And the first one was that we are going to pursue God. That's a core value of this church, that we are going to continuously forever be seeking to know, to understand, seeking understanding of the Lord and wisdom, and growing in understanding and knowledge and wisdom, and grow, not only growing in that, but growing in our relationship with Him. And not only growing in our relationship with our Father, but also growing in the expression of the relationship that we have, growing in the expression of His character in our lives. So that's pursuing God. And then we also set another core value. Do you have that image on there, Bonagus? Could you put that up of the core values, please? There it is. Pursue God is that center one. Then that one to the left in the pink is living with purpose. And we said that we are going to be a church that understands that our lives are not our own, but that Jesus died and bought them for a purpose, and that our lives, our very being, our very existence is for the purposes of His kingdom. And so that's what it means to live with purpose. And then we have over there valuing people, understanding that all people matter to God. All people matter to God. And that is not His will that anyone should die and perish. It's not His will that anyone should be separated from Him from eternity, but it's His will that all should have eternal life. And so we are going to be a people that will love and treat people. We will be a church that loves and treat people the way that God loves and treats people. And then last week and the other 2 weeks we did enjoy life. Enjoying life is a core value of this church. And this core value is about understanding the victory of Jesus Christ in your life. Living victoriously on a day-to-day basis. Understanding that what Jesus accomplished on the cross is that he overcame all of death, sin, and death. And so then he gave us the same spirit that is in him. And so we now have an overcoming spirit living within us. And so because of what Christ did on the cross, we are now overcomers as well. Understanding the victory of Jesus. And so here we are, we're coming to an end, and it's this core value of ours at the very bottom, being together as one. Together as one. That's why you heard these songs that we sang this morning were geared to being one collective voice. A lot of it was we shout and the earth, and we join in with the earth and all of creation. Understanding that this local church body is not the only church. Right? The church, the universal church, is so much far greater than what we can even really imagine. And so we are saying that we are going to be a church that is united. And we're going to fight for unity. And we're going to fight to be a church that is together as one under the headship of Jesus Christ. Okay? We are culturally diverse in this church. We really are. And it's something that is really awesome. And I'm purposely making it a big deal because I believe it's a big deal to God. I really do believe it's a big deal to God. And I believe that it delights his heart to see this church transition the way it has. That we are culturally diverse. And that we are going to continue to pursue being culturally diverse on purpose. Now when I say culture, I'm talking about that we have different nations represented here. I'm talking about we have different ethnicities. Some people are here from the south of America. Some people are here from New England. Some people are from West Philly. Some people are from South Philly. Yes, there are some even people from New Jersey. I know. And there's some people from the suburbs of Philly. Each one of those places is a culture. And we bring into this church body a collective of a bunch of different cultures. This is we are culturally diverse, if you look at it that way. That each person in here comes from a different background, different culture, a different place in life. And when I say diversity, I'm not limiting it simply to race or culture or ethnicity, but is that everybody has a different background. Everybody here has a different past. Everybody here comes from a different walk of life. But we all come together under the banner of Jesus Christ to fulfill the mission that he has called us to. Take a minute and watch this video, please. Can you kill that light? There we go. Can you turn up a little bit, please, John? And the beginning of a turn up a little bit more, please. Of reality.
Seconds away from the Apollo 11 liftoff. All the second stage tanks now pressurized. 35 seconds and counting. We are still go Apollo 11. 30 seconds and counting. Astronauts report it feels good. T-minus 25 seconds. 20 seconds and counting. T-minus 15 seconds. Guidance is internal. 12, 11, 10, 9. Ignition sequence start.
That's inspirational, isn't it? Yeah. Isn't that good? You can turn the light back on for me, Jim. Thanks. That was the space shuttle that went and walked on the moon the first time we walked on the moon. Everybody involved, everybody important for the task at hand. And that's what together as one really is. That's what we're talking about today. In Romans chapter 15, you can turn there if you'd like, but it'll also be up on the screen. Romans chapter 15, verses 5 through 7 says this. It says, may the God who gives endurance and encouragement. Well, I think somebody just needed to hear that today. May the God who gives endurance and encouragement. Okay. I feel like someone just needed to hear that this morning. That maybe you felt like you're at the end of your rope and you just can't keep going on. You can't keep persevering. Or you feel discouraged and down about life and where you're at in your life. Understand that it's God who gives endurance and encouragement. I just felt like somebody came to church here just to hear those couple words. That's not the message. But that's the important, that's the power of the Word of God. May the God who gives endurance and encouragement give you the same attitude of mind toward each other that Christ Jesus had. So that with one mind and one voice you may glorify the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. Accept one another then, just as Christ accepted you in order to bring praise to God. The King James uses the word receive there. He says, receive one another then, just as Jesus Christ received you in order to bring praise to God. Did you catch that? In order to bring praise to God, Jesus had to receive us. Wow. And so he's saying here to be of the same mind, the same attitude, the same, to be of the same characteristic as Jesus, to receive one another, then, to bring praise to God. You want to bring praise to God? Receive one another. Receive one another. Paul here in the book of Romans, there's sort of a common theme that goes throughout, and a lot of it is theological. You learn a lot about salvation in the book of Romans, but you also see that it's also about how to further the kingdom of God. It's how to further Christ's kingdom in this world. And in chapter 14, I really want you to, on your own study this week, read chapter 14 of Romans. And what you're going to see is that Paul starts to sort of list off some of the differences between the Jews and the Gentiles, the Jewish church and the Gentile church. And he begins to kind of reflect on the tensions between them. They got tensions going on, and they're arguing whether or not should we have these dietary restrictions? Should we eat this? Should we not eat this? Should we drink this? Should we not drink this? Should we celebrate this ceremony on this day, or should we celebrate this thing on the law on this day? And so Paul was saying to them, hey, look, he's saying here, put aside your differences. Put aside your trivial things and bear with one another. Amen. And glorify God together. That's what you get when you read Romans 14 through 15, when we get to here. And Paul's saying, bear with one another. Bear the burdens of one another. For those who are weak in their salvation, get up alongside of them and be there with them. Walk through life with them. He says in chapter 14, verse 17, Paul says, for the kingdom of God is not about eating. It's not about drinking. It's about righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Spirit. In other words, Paul is saying, don't focus on the trivial things. Don't dwell on the tensions among you. Don't dwell on the differences that you have, but embrace that which unites you. Embrace that which unites you. And what is it that unites all the believers? Though they were Jewish believers and Gentile believers, and they were still navigating through those murky waters, what was the one thing that united them? That once they were alienated from God, but by the blood of Jesus Christ, they have been brought near and have been adopted into the family of God. That's what unites us in this room. If Jesus Christ is your Lord and Savior, all of us in this room are united. That's what we have in common with one another. We're family. We're family. And we all know how murky family can get, right? We all know family. But what I want you to see this morning is that we're going to be family forever. We're going to be family forever. Brothers and sisters forever. And forever we will together forever we will be serving the kingdom of God as family, together forever. Look to the person next to you and say, I want to be with you forever, man. This is our eternal destiny. It is the privilege and the joy that we've been thrusted into. It really is. That we will together be the people of God, carrying out his kingdom purposes. All right, so let's be real for a moment. Can we be real? Good. We're in church. We can be real. We can be open with each other. I want everybody to close your eyes for just a second. Everybody close your eyes. Don't look at me, Earl. Everybody close your eyes for just a moment. Now, I want you to think for a moment about a person or persons in this church body that really irritates you. It's okay to laugh. It's okay. I want you to think of the person. Just imagine them in your mind. The person in this church or persons in this church that irritate you. And if you're a guest with us today and no one has irritated you yet, amen, hallelujah. You hang on to that first impression and come back next week. All right, have you thought about that person or persons? Now, if you have more than 10 people on your mind right now, we will pray for you afterwards. I will personally pray with you afterwards. All right, so you have that person in your mind. Everybody's eyes are closed, and you're thinking of the people in this church that irritate you, or they get on your nerves, or you have a difficult time with them. And imagine you're looking directly at them. Looking directly at them. And when you see them, you see the blood of Jesus all over them. The blood of Jesus that covers them. It's the same blood that is all over you. Keep your eyes closed for a minute. See them for Jesus Christ in them. See them as someone who has been radically redeemed by the blood of Jesus and has the exact same future that awaits you. Okay, you can open your eyes now. You can open your eyes now. I think that I've heard someone say this before, and it's really powerful, and please don't misunderstand what I'm saying here. But if we could see Jesus inside of each and every one of us, if we could see the awe of Jesus Christ in someone, we would bow down and worship Jesus right there on the spot. Amen. Not worship the person. Please understand what I'm saying. Please don't understand. I'm not talking about bowing down and worshiping. But if we could see Jesus ruling and reigning within each and every one of us here, if we could actually physically see that, we would be struck in awe and fear and reverence, and we would just bow down. You know? The same Jesus Christ that flows and lives within you flows through every single one of these people in this church. And so now I want you to see those people that you thought of in your mind as partners in the purposes of God alongside of you for eternity. That you are partners with them for eternity alongside of each other for that amazing, amazing task. You know, Jesus set up the church, and he set up the church to be a multifaceted expression of himself, where the church is made up of people from all different cultures, all different ethnicities, all different colors and tribes and nations, and that each and every person from their cultural background, from their DNA makeup, their cultural history, their past, the whatever, everything that is made up to that person up until them, that is an expression, and God shining through that person is an expression of Jesus Christ on this earth. I hope that came out right. But in my head, it was great. His people, all of us, under the banner of Jesus Christ. We all stand under this banner of Jesus Christ. And he set it up so that we, people, redeemed man, as Linda said. I love that. Redeemed men and women. He set it up so that we could be the full expression of himself on this earth to everyone who is still separated from him. And we will together be carrying out this mission until the day he returns or gives us a new task. That's what's so cool. Everyone involved, remember that video? Every person involved, every person important in order to get that task completed. That's the church. That is the church. And what I want you to know this morning is that every person in this room is essential to the mission of the church. Every person in this room is essential to the mission of the church. And as the church, we have been given this mandate to be God's representative people on this earth, to represent him, to be joyful, to be loving, to be peaceful, You know, to express the character and the nature of God. To love when it's unlovable, when the situation is unlovable. You know, those things. To be His representative people on this earth together in harmony with one another. In harmony. And that's why there should be no division among us. That's why there should be no division among us. Paul says in 1 Corinthians 12 that there should be no discord, but only mutual love and concern for each other in the body. Amen. Division has no place in the church. You see, there is and can only be one church, because there's only one Jesus Christ, and He cannot be divided. And so this next point is very important. I want you to please hear me, and I'm going to do my best to explain it. The local church, all right, when I talk about the local church, I'm talking about this Cornerstone, I'm talking about churches all over this community, Vineyard and the Methodist Church, or the Methodist Church right down the road, Lutheran Church right there, and all these churches. All the local church body, okay, is not, this is important, ready? This church is not a part of the church. This local church body is not a part of the church. It is the fullness of the church in its local expression. You with me? Okay. The local church, such as Cornerstone right here, is not a part of the church. But we are the full representation of the church in this local context. You with me? God saw it so that His church, this church would be the fullness of His church in this little geographical location. So we're not a part of the church. We are the church. We are the church. And what I want you to see is that the whole power of Christ, okay? The whole power of Christ is available to every local congregation. Not just a little bit, not that church has got something that we don't have, or that church. No, but the power of Jesus Christ is made available to every local congregation. And not only that, but all the resources of God's kingdom are made available to every local congregation. And so I want you to see that we're not a part of the church. Cornerstone Christian Church is the church. In all of its fullness, we have all of Christ in us. All the power is available to us. All the resources of the kingdom of God are here. And what we do is we take it, and we take those resources of God's kingdom, and we take the power of God and that has been given to us and made available to us, and we distribute that here in this local geographical spot. You with me? Okay. This is so cool. This is so cool, and it's so important to understand. We are the full expression of Jesus Christ. We are. We're the full expression of Jesus Christ right here in Broomall, Pennsylvania. The full expression. We don't have just a part of Jesus Christ. We're not just a part of Him. He is all of, He gave all of us to Him. And He says, all of my resources of my kingdom are made available to you. Here's all of the power. Here's everything you need to do the mission that I've called you to, and go ahead and do it exactly where you're planted, where I've planted you, in that geographical location right there. And all around the world, people are doing the same thing in their local geographical location. In their geographical location, they are being the church. They are being the church. The point I'm trying to make is that we are the church. We are the church. We are, with all the resources of heaven made available to us, and with all the power of Christ made available to us to carry out this mission, His mission, on this earth, in this little plot of land on this earth. Am I making sense? Are you with me? All right, I hope so. I hope so. You have been appointed and anointed as carriers and distributors of the Spirit of God. If you have Jesus Christ in you, the Bible says that you have been anointed. So raise your hand if you're anointed. I know I've done this before. Good. Everybody, get up there. I'm anointed. You've been anointed by the Spirit of God. You have been appointed. You have been entrusted, the Bible says. You have been entrusted with the Word of God. You've been entrusted to carry this good news with you everywhere you go and to share it and distribute it and to give it to other people. Amen. You are God's representative people on this earth. I'm going to keep pounding that. I'm just going to keep saying that. Appointed and entrusted with His gospel. We have all been brought together by the Holy Spirit. We've all been bound together through Christ Jesus. And therefore, we all have to stand together in covenant, together with God. And together, as one, we are God's people. We are God's people. Being a part of the church does not mean just coming to church on a weekly basis and listening to, you know, the worship songs and just listening to a sermon each week. But as the church, this is what I want everyone to understand, is that everyone is important. Everyone is important. Everyone is involved. Everyone matters. The church is the makeup of the entire body of Christ. The entire body of Christ. And so what I want you to understand is that you have been appointed and anointed to participate in the mission of Jesus Christ, which is His church. The church is what Jesus established. He set this up. This is his thing. And He says that anyone who is in Me is in the church. Anyone who has been included in Christ, anyone who stands under the banner of Jesus Christ, anybody whose life has been redeemed by the blood of Jesus Christ, you are then placed into the church. And He then gives you a mandate, all of us a mandate, to fulfill His mission on this earth, to participate, to be participants in this mission. And every person in this room here is unique to that mission. You're unique in your talents and your abilities. You're unique in where you came from. You're unique in your history and your past. You're unique in your makeup of your DNA. You're unique. Everyone here is unique. Everyone is different. And as the church, whose primary function is to reflect the kingdom of God, we will celebrate and embrace the diversity that exists among us. We're going to do it. We're going to celebrate it, and we're going to embrace the diversity. And I know how difficult it can be with family, right? We all know. It's okay. We all know. We all know what family's like. We all do. I came across a post on Twitter from Pastor Bob Sorge, and he said this: a culturally diverse church is seeking not to be a melting pot where all distinctives are lost, but a salad where all distinctives are enjoyed. Isn't that great? A culturally diverse church is seeking not to be a melting pot where all the distinctives are lost, but a salad where all distinctives are enjoyed. I'm going to fight hard for unity within this church. I really am. I pray for it in here. I pray for it in my... I battle for it. I really do, because I believe there's something... I'm really passionate about this. I'm really passionate about this topic, as I've been with all these core values, as I'm sure you've noticed. I'm passionate about these things because I really do believe that in how effective it can be when all of us put aside the divisions that stand in our way and the differences among us, and we embrace the thing that unites us all. That I believe that it's going to be extremely effective in the years to come. I really do believe that. I understand the cultural, the social, the differences among us that we have and that they've been ingrained in us from birth. You know, I understand all that. But there is someone who binds us all together for something so much bigger than what our natural eyes can see. And if we could all look into the spirit realm right now and see what the kingdom of God looks like, we would see every color, every tribe, every tongue, every nation representing Christ's church. We would see people from all different walks of life united together as one. Every one of us as individuals make up the church as a whole. You cannot be separated from the church. It's impossible. And it's why we strongly urge new believers to get planted into a local church so that they can begin to put their God-given destiny into action. We want people to get along with this message, then get along with this mandate of the church, that everyone has something to offer. Everyone is important. Everyone is involved for this great task of reaching every man, woman, and child with the gospel of Jesus Christ. This is why we exist on this earth. It's our essence. It's our reason for being, to reach people who are separated from Him and share with them the joy and the love and the peace and the power and the transformation that comes through Jesus Christ. Isolation is a strategy of the enemy. Division is what he's all about. His purpose is to divide creation from its creator, to separate them from the link that binds them together as one. But the gospel is all about the removal of division. And we see that in the whole message of the gospel, where here was God and here was mankind and here was this massive chasm in between sin and death. And we were separated from Him forever. We were alienated from Him. But what Jesus Christ did in His power of His resurrection and His redemption and the blood and the justification is that He bridged that gap once and for all. That for all who believe in that can now be brought near into the family of God and adopted into His family. That's what the gospel is all about. That's what the gospel is all about. And if we can begin to see other people in this room, if we can begin to see other churches in our community, other churches around the world, for being linked together with us, and that they have the same purpose, and that they have the same mission, and they have the same mandate as you do. They may go about it differently than you do, but they have the same purpose. They have the same mission. They have the same mandate. They are the church as well. Then I believe with everything inside of me, we're going to see revival like we've never seen before. Amen. If we can put aside the differences that we have with other churches and other fellow believers, if we can lay aside those trivial things, or this is well, you shouldn't eat this, or well, like what Paul says, it's not about eating and drinking, it's not about the trivial things that divide us. But the kingdom of God is what? About righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Spirit. Let us focus on that which unites us, not which divides us. Amen. And that is Jesus Christ, the power of His resurrection, and the eternal hope we have in Him. That's what unites us. And this local church is diverse on purpose. And we're going to continue to be diverse on purpose. And we're going to celebrate it, and we are going to honor it, and we will continue to pursue it. Over the next few months, in your bulletin, you'll see that we've set up an agenda for this church to really invest in unity of this church. To invest in it. Because unity is not going to happen on its own. We have to work for it. We have to work at it. It's something that takes work. You know, it takes a conscious effort to put aside the differences that you have with someone else.
Amen.
It really does. So we are going to be a church that represents kingdom culture. We are going to be a church. We will be known as the church that represents kingdom culture. And what that looks like is people of all different colors and cultures and styles and tastes and different abilities and different backgrounds. All of those people working alongside of each other for the kingdom of God. Just as we're going to be doing for eternity. That's the key right there. We're going to be doing this for eternity, so let's start now. Why not? This is what we are supposed to be doing. We as the representative people of God, we are to model to this world what the future society of God looks like. We did that in the series called Looking Forward to Right Now. To model what the future society of God looks like here and now. What it looks like when God lives with man and what that looks like and the expression of that. So I'm asking you, everyone who is committed to this church and become a partner of this church, I'm asking you all to put away the divisions among you. That the person or few people in this church that you have a really difficult time with, maybe because they hurt you, maybe because they're just different from you. Or maybe you just don't understand their culture or their background. I'm asking you to put that aside. But look to that person instead as essential to the kingdom of God. Look at that person instead as an essential part of the kingdom of God. See Jesus in that person. See God's heart for that person. Accept them in their differences. Accept one another then, just as Christ, accepted you. This is the best part of the verse. In order to bring praise to God. In order to bring praise to God, you were received by Jesus Christ. Just the way you were. In all of your mess, in all of your sin, in all of your guilt, in all of your shame, he received you. And so what Paul is saying here is that we are to be like-minded, to receive one another then. So it will bring praise to our God and our Father. So I challenge you this morning to build no barriers between yourself and another believer. Not only in this church, but in any other church. Because God accepts them. And if he accepts them, then we are to accept them. I challenge you who have thought about being superior to any other believer in any other way to take that to the cross and leave it there. That nobody is above anybody. And God is no respecter of persons, but he sees us all the same. I challenge you not to look upon a Baptist or a Lutheran or a Methodist any differently, but to accept them as your brothers and sisters. To accept them as Christ's very own people. To receive them as your eternal family. Don't shut the door to people who go to other churches. We are not in competition with any of them. But I believe that we should be cheering them on. Saying, go get it, guys. Go get it. Reach people that we can't reach. Reach the people that we have no ability to reach. I don't know the people that you guys know. Reach them for the kingdom of God and tell them how great he is. We should be cheering them on, encouraging them to keep going, praying for their endurance, praying for their faith to be increased, praying for other churches, praying for their families, praying for their circles of influence. Let's cheer other churches on. There's no competition here. There's no competition here. We are just a local expression. We are just blessed to have this group of people right here. But other churches are blessed to have other groups of people right there. And they're working together alongside of one another for the same mission, the same mandate. Woo! So we may have differences among ourselves. That's a given. But the command for us today is to receive one another just as Christ received you. Accept one another just as Christ accepted you. Will you receive any type of person that comes in these doors? Will you embrace them as family? Will you cheer them on in their pursuit of the Lord? May we be known as the church that gets behind one another. May we be known as the church that gets behind one another and cheers each other on in Christ. May we be known as the church who encourages other believers, no matter how different they are, to be all that God has anointed them to be. May this church be the church that reflects kingdom culture. This church identifies itself as a Great Commission church, which means that we are all partners with God. That God has invited us into partnership with him for his plans and his purposes to this world. And he has appointed and anointed each of his people to be a part of this mission of reaching every man and every woman and child with the gospel of Jesus Christ. And the most effective way for the local church to fulfill this mission is to be united as one, together as one. Embrace that which unites you. Don't focus and dwell on the things that divide you. And so that's why we've chosen to be diverse on purpose. And we're going to celebrate our diversity. Because to celebrate diversity is to celebrate the kingdom of God. And so we're going to continue to pursue diversity, because to pursue diversity is to pursue the kingdom of God. And so here's the bottom line. We have all been given such an amazing hope, an amazing future. And it's our desire at this church to want to see as and to share with that with as many people as we can. And so that's why everybody in this room is essential. Everyone has a part to play in some way, shape, or form. We're all going to have different parts to play. Not everybody here is a pastor or an evangelist, a prophet, a teacher, right? Not everybody's that. We all have different roles. There's so many different things, components to the church. But what I do know and what the Bible tells us is that everyone is essential to the church. All who are in Christ, who call upon Him as Lord and Savior, have a mandate to be the expression of God to this world. You're in the church. And this small gathering of people right here at Cornerstone represents the local expression of the kingdom of God. And please understand that we need each other to be as effective as possible. Amen? Amen. Okay, so what we're going to do right now is I'm going to invite everyone that I've talked to this week and about partnership. Everyone who's going to be coming into partnership with Cornerstone Christian Church, would you guys come on up here? Let's just give everyone a hand right now. Come on up here. Okay, come on up. Come on, go. So there were a couple others, but they are not able to make it today. So, this group of people have decided to commit to partnership with this church, to be what we just preached about, a part of the local expression of the kingdom of God here and now, to partner with us in the mission that we're moving forward to, and to reach every man, woman, and child for the kingdom of God. So I'd like you to meet Walter and Joan Minch. I'd like you to meet Maddie Peters. I'd like you to meet Judah and Lily and Dahlia. And Steve Harvilla. And Ken Pupo, who's wearing the Flyers colors this morning. Amen. Amen. I've been able to talk with these guys, and they're committed to this church. And so understand that they're in partnership with you, all right? We're not isolated by ourselves, but we are in this together, arm in arm, walking through life together. And so now these people are included in that. Amen? Amen. Amen. So guys, what we do now is we just give you the right hand of fellowship and say, welcome aboard. Let's give them a hand. Love you guys. It's great to have you. Amen.
Thank you.
Amen. Paul says, I thank God. You guys can go ahead and take your seats. Thank you so much. We have cake and stuff on the other side we're going to do in just a few moments, but we're actually going to take communion together now. As we're talking about being together as one, Liz, if I could ask you, could you just play some music for us, please, while we take communion? That'd be great. And so I'm going to hand this off to Anthony, because Anthony is going to lead us all communion together. And so if anyone who is going to be distributing communion this morning, if you would come on up and now and help us out. Thank you so much.
What else we have? Jordan? God is good, amen.